Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
I really wanted Nathan to share that because I love his heart for God, his heart for worship, his honesty with all of that, and to know that we go on this journey together. And it's interesting, he's gone on this journey of fasting and praying and discovered something different to what he thought he was going to discover. And we are, as I was saying recently, whenever I was talking to you last, we're actually apprentices of Jesus. And when I see Nathan doing this, I see he's getting a greater love for God and love for people and praying for people more and more. And I'm hearing that from others of you who are doing this 40 days of fasting and praying. And as I was saying to the morning services this morning, I'm seeing the change in this service, particularly from having so many young adults who are really pressing in. And last Sunday, one of our great prayer warriors, Sam Curry, who comes to the 8:30 service, sent me a message last Sunday night saying he had a vision of our church, and it was like a tunnel coming down and a tunnel going up, and they weren't quite connected yet because there was a few barriers, but there were fists coming up and they were punching through the holes and bringing the tunnels together. And he said, I just feel great breakthrough is coming. And when I was sharing that with my young adult connect, everyone said, yes, we're the ones punching the holes. We're punching the holes so that whatever breakthrough God wants to bring into our church is coming in, and not just into our church so that we can go and bring his wholeness to other people. And that's for all of us. And I'm really, really so excited that our young adults are leading the way. And I would like to say, if you're not a young adult, don't just think, oh, well, I'll let them do it now because I'm old and tired. Start getting up and joining with them. And as we come into Holy Week, I think this is a key week to do this. And so, because tonight I want to talk about how does Jesus change lives? And the answer is actually through his love. Because when Jesus came into the world, he came into the world to deny himself totally, to give his life on the cross, as we're going to celebrate next weekend, powerfully, that he showed us this sacrificial love. As Stu was sharing, he came into Jerusalem. They're expecting this king to come in as a warrior, and he came in not for a crown but to be crucified. And he says, follow me. And it's the power of his love. And we like hearing that. But I want to ask you tonight, how much do you really love people? And to think of the people you really love, and think of how much you love them and what you would do with them for them. And then to think of the people you don't know as well and how much you love them, because you and I are called to be followers, apprentices of Jesus. So I went to this dinner on Thursday night in Sydney, run by Micro Australia, and I heard this outstanding woman called Asunta Charles. Asunta was born in India, and she's little, she might be 5 feet, she might be a little bit smaller than that. And she's very softly spoken, and she is our little powerhouse. And she ended up being head of World Vision recently when the Taliban took over Afghanistan. So she was in Afghanistan, and she was a woman leading this. I don't know if you understand what that actually means, because let me read a few things. That when the new regime in Kabul, started imposing even stricter rules on women in the final weeks of 2022, they banned women from studying in universities, and they banned them from working for NGOs. And she runs an NGO, and they wanted to get rid of all the women. Women couldn't go to school, they couldn't work, they couldn't even go out on the streets unless they had a man with them. And they say it's the strictest rules on women in the world. And here's this little woman running this international aid agency, World Vision, in Afghanistan, particularly working for the plight of women and children. And she was rescuing children. Children were being sold by their parents just to have enough money to live. So you got these dreadful situations. The women weren't choosing to sell them. Others were choosing to sell them, and they had no voice, and she wanted to be a voice there. So she was telling us this story the other night, and she said her staff said to her, what will we do? And she said, I'll go and talk to the Taliban. Now, when she said that the other night, I was actually running the question time, and I'm glad you responded like that, because that's how everyone responded, like we all responded. Okay. Now, can you just picture back to you living in Afghanistan, particularly if you're a woman, and all the women are being swept away, fired, locked up, and you say, I'll go and have a chat to the Taliban about this and I'll tell them they're wrong. And she did, and they disagreed with her. So she went back the next day and they disagreed with her. And she kept going back, so they said, okay, you can stay. That's phenomenal. And that's because she loves people. She loves those people. She felt that God had called her to care for particularly the women and the children, and she wasn't going to go. And in the end, I read this report about her. She says, I remember how chaotic and frustrating the situation was. There was this mass evacuation because people got incredibly afraid. And she said there was so much fear. You could feel that people were really worried about their lives and worried about their future. Only 1 year into her role at the time, she became the one foreigner left on her staff of 700. They all got afraid. They all left. She said, I'm not going. Everyone else was evacuated or they decided to return home. And the Indian Embassy and World Vision security teams were calling. If she decided to go, plans needed to be made quickly. And she stayed. That's incredible love, isn't it, for people? And when I was listening to her story the other night, and everyone just sits there going, okay. No, not just okay. That is actually outstanding. And which ones of us would have stayed there and which ones of us would have got on the first plane out of that country? And so Jesus is, that sort of love is the love of Jesus. Okay. It's powerful. It's just not nice. It is nice, but it's far more than that. It's a powerful sort of love. And Jesus says this, John 13:34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. So, okay, just sitting here tonight, you and I, we're all apprentices of Jesus. We want to be like him because we see this king riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a servant king. We see him crucified for the sins of the world. We see him resurrected. We see him ascend into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes on and we say, we want to follow you. Train us up to be like you. And that's why the majority of us here tonight, and some of us might be here tonight because we're discovering more about it. And if you are, that's what we're inviting you into, to become like Jesus, because that is the hope of the world, to bring this sort of love into the world. But when you hear stories of Jesus and when you hear stories of Asunta, this woman in Afghanistan, you realize that you're going to have to be filled with a lot of love for people to be able to do this. So Jesus says to his followers, I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That is the one thing that proves you're actually an apprentice of Jesus, is your love for one another. Not your self-righteousness, not your ability to quote 1,000 scriptures, your love for one another. Great if you can quote the scriptures. But if you haven't got the love, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, you are a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, and it's nothing. And so just recently I felt that the Holy Spirit has been saying to me certain situations that I want changed that haven't changed, and I felt God saying to me, oh, the thing I'm trying to change first is you, and I'm trying to teach you to love more. And I just wonder, when you pray, how often do you pray that God would enable you to love more like he loves every person, to have that strength for people, to go the extra mile for people? In 1 John, John, who was a friend of Jesus, writes this, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Let's pause on that. Let's read that again. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. You didn't invent it, by the way. It comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We should consider that when we don't love, because I can say this many times when I don't love, I'm angry, bitter, and at that point, I'm not like God. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, you might think those verses just sound nice and emotional because they have the word love in them. But let's consider what it's saying. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So here we are, the apprentices of Jesus, and we want to be like him. And how do you get to be like that? When I look at followers of Jesus, such as the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was a man who hated Christians, and then he has this divine encounter with Jesus who changed his life, and he ends up going around sharing about Jesus all around the known world then. And he is very often flogged and thrown into prison for doing this. And just recently I've got a couple of groups that I'm running at the moment, and we're just unpacking Paul's letters. And most of his letters he wrote from a prison cell, and they weren't pretty prison cells. And something that dawned on me the other day as I was reading, I think, the letter to the Philippians. So he writes a letter to the church in Philippi, and he writes it from a jail cell. And I realized that in his letters, he never once says, "I hate the Roman government. I hate Caesar. Caesar is a corrupt and wicked man. Can you all pray that he would change and get me out of here because I am unfairly thrown into prison?" I realize that it's actually not there. And yet I hear a lot of Christians speaking like that about our governments, and I'm very convicted by that, that he does not complain. He thanks God for wherever he is, and he goes, "I'm in prison. Jailers to share the love of Jesus with. Oh, I'm being hauled into Rome. I have to speak to King Agrippa. I get to tell the king about the love of Jesus." Totally different attitude. Is sometimes we have attitudes that we think are Christian and actually not. So we actually really need to read the scriptures and see what they're actually saying. And everywhere he is, so you start to read Paul's letters. So think of yourself. You've done nothing wrong. You are unjustly arrested, publicly flogged, thrown into prison, and you decide to write a letter to some of your friends. I would start off by saying, "I've got these really bad scars on my back and they're still bleeding and it's really, really hurting. And I'm hungry and the prison is cold and wet and I'm really upset with the Roman government and I think Caesar is corrupt." Well, he doesn't write any of that. He writes something like this: "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I might make my requests for all of you with joy." That's the beginning of his letter to his friends in Philippi. He goes on to say, "I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding." And here is this man who was overflowing with love, and he's thrown into the worst situation that you could imagine, and what comes out of him is love. It's been making me question, what comes out of me when I'm thrown into the worst situation, and particularly when it's unjust and it's unfair and I don't know the end of it? Like, he's in jail and he doesn't know what day he's going to get out or if he will ever get out. What are you like when you're thrown into the worst situations? Because that's what shows what's really inside of you. And as apprentices of Jesus, they're our cues in life. They're our cues of training to say, okay, here I am thrown into this worst of situations. What is, instead of telling God like I do, maybe you do this, how he should change the situation all the time. I'm not saying you can't pray that. You can. You are called to do that. But also to have a look at what comes out of you. Are you a true apprentice of Jesus at this point? Because the true apprentice of Jesus, you don't berate yourself. If you're an apprentice of anything and you start to do something and you're not getting it quite right, you stop and you ask your trainer how you should do it. You don't have to berate yourself. If you're building and you can't work out how to do a particular thing, you don't think, "I'm hopeless." You're not hopeless. You just go to the person who's training you and say, "I really don't know how to do this," or "I tried it and it didn't work. I'm sorry, the roof fell in. But could you help me how to build this properly?" And so we need to be, if you see yourself honestly as an apprentice of Jesus, there'll be cues every day when you respond to something and you need to say to yourself, is this response a Jesus type of response, or is it just the old me? Being old me, and do you want to be transformed? Because I think his letters show what sort of response comes out of a really tough situation. In his letter to the church in Colossae, he says, So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is also in the beginning of his letter, another letter. So as he's sitting in prison, he's thinking, I'm going to keep praying for these people, and I'm asking God to give them complete knowledge of his will and give them spiritual wisdom and understanding. I would ask us all, how many people do we pray that for? And then a little bit later in that letter, he says, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. That implied to me that in prison he has an endurance and patience and joy. So just taking this now, so here is an apprentice of Jesus, and that's what he's like in his worst situation. And I just want to go into the book of Matthew now, because there's a story of Jesus' disciples and part of their apprenticeship program and how they had to learn something more. And it talks about in Matthew 17, Jesus and his disciples, who are his apprentices or his students, going on together. And it says, at the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees, begging, Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently he is pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him. So here's a situation where the apprentices of Jesus had been able to do things, but this point they couldn't do anything about it. Now, this boy having seizures, sometimes it's translated as he was possessed by an evil spirit. And sometimes when we think people being possessed by an evil spirit, we imagine like an axe murderer or something like that, okay? It's actually something that torments you. Have you ever been tormented? You can be tormented by fear for things, fear of rejection, fear of loneliness, fear of not having enough money, fear of not having a job, fear of dying, fear of a medical test, fear of sickness, fear of being alone. Do you know what it's like to be tormented? Does anyone know that tormenting feeling that comes upon you and you just can't get it off your mind? I think the enemy loves to see you tormented. This boy is being tormented. What I'm saying is that when Jesus comes to heal and to cast demons out, it's not that they're bad people. Sometimes we think it means that they're bad. They're people who are tormented. And I think all of us are tormented at some time or other. All of us are. And these disciples wanted to do something about it, and they couldn't do something about it. And Jesus actually talks to them about fasting. Now, here's an interesting thing. I just want to go back to why they're actually learning this. So Jesus has come to train up his students, which is you, starting with these ones, to actually love people enough to do something to see them set free. So you're being trained up to love people enough to do something to set people free, because these guys actually gave up their job to follow him to learn how to set a young boy like that free from what was tormenting him. They gave up their job to do that. They've gone out in this faith mission. Some of them were fishermen, one was a tax collector. They all had different jobs, and they've given them up because they want to learn how to set people free. They want to love people like Jesus loves. Sometimes we think we follow Jesus just to learn what's right, but he's actually training you up to be able to go out and see people set free. That's amazing, isn't it? To give you the power to go out and see people set free. You're actually learning how to do that. And these men who have been following Jesus around, you'd think if you're following Jesus around, you just get it like that. But they didn't this day. They didn't get it like that. And Jesus says to them, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we do this? Because you have so little faith, Jesus replied. I assure you that if you have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this hill, up you get and move over here, and it will move. You will find nothing is impossible. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so why I wanted to talk to Nathan was that what Nathan is doing is an apprenticeship journey to become closer to Jesus so that he would have the power to do these things. And so we've got to see fasting is not winning brownie points with God. It's actually to set yourself aside for time to in love for other people so that you can be filled more fully with the power and the presence of God. You can hear his voice more fully so that when you pray, you will see things happen as Jesus promised here to his apprentices. He says, you will be able to say to this hill or this mountain, get up and move over there and it will move and you will find nothing is impossible. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In other words, you guys are not yet close enough to the Heavenly Father and not yet full enough to the Holy Spirit. You are still, there's still too much of you in there to be able to move into this area of power. And they could have just stayed there, but these guys wanted to learn how to do this. And I'm asking us the question tonight, do we want to learn how to do this? Because it will take some training and discipline. And we've got to remember this, that Dallas Willard writes this about fasting. Remember, the purpose of fasting is not to punish the body. The body is wonderful. It's not to earn anything. It's not to prove anything. It's not to manipulate God. Yeah, sometimes people fast and they go, I fasted for 10 days and God still didn't do what I wanted him to do. It was kind of manipulating God. We can't prove anything to God that he doesn't already know. He doesn't need to be manipulated, and we can't earn. In an area where we don't even have the life to give, we can't earn it. We just have to accept it. In order to appreciate what fasting really is, we have to understand that it has two dimensions. One is withdrawal and the other is appropriation. Withdrawal and appropriation. So fasting means that you withdraw for a time. And someone was talking to me recently about fasting in the times of Jesus and giving up eating. And eating then took, you'd spend a lot of time. We had a visitor once from Uganda. He'd never been outside Uganda. He'd never been in a building more than one story high, and it was a wet day, and we were in our old building, and he was in our church building, and he came for a drive with me, and I had to get lunch for everybody, and I went through Macca's drive-thru. He had never seen anything like that in his entire life. At first, he didn't know why I was talking to a little box. Then I walk up to the next window, tap, walk up to the next window, and a bag of food suddenly appears, and he said, that would take 3 hours in Uganda. We would dig up the potatoes. We would chop up the potatoes. And he goes, praise Jesus for good ideas. I think it's the first time I've driven through Macca's drive-thru and someone's praised God for Macca's drive-thru and how easy it is to get your lunch on a wet, cold day. And so if you were fasting then and you weren't even preparing your meal, you had lots of time. That's why I think some of the fasting might be television or Netflix, because it gives you a bit more time. And you actually spend time out just saying, I'm going to practice what it means to really be in the presence of God because I want to be like this. Do you love people enough to fill yourself up with the presence of God so that when you start to pray for people, miracles happen? Do you love people enough, like Assunta Charles does, to be able to stay in a country like that for the sake of women and children that she's never met? And at the end of the dinner the other night, a couple of us were talking to her, Chelsea Beach and I, we were talking and we said, where are you staying, Assunta? And she gets out of key and she says, I'm staying over at the Q station, which is at Manly. And we said, oh, they put you up over there. She said, no, I just asked for a place where I could be all by myself to replenish myself. So she just got into an Uber, like she's this international guest speaker. She gets an Uber all by herself and heads off to Manly so that she can spend more time with Jesus. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and that's where the devil tried to tempt him. And this is what he said to the devil. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. I have other food. And he actually says to his disciples in John 4 when he's speaking to the woman at the well and he's sharing the good news with her and his disciples go off and they say, oh, haven't you had lunch? And he goes, oh, don't worry. I have a kind of food that you know nothing about. So there's this spiritual food that nurtures your soul. Nathan mentioned that because he's saying he's giving up food but then he's finding he's stronger because doing it for the right reasons to be filled with the presence and the power of God. And so as followers of Jesus, the question is, will we love people enough to do something about being filled with the love and the power of God? And you don't have to. You're called to it and it's a decision you have to make. You never do it because others are doing it or your friends are doing it or you feel guilty if you don't do it. They're wrong reasons. You do it because you've experienced the love. You've experienced the freedom and you think, I want to take that to someone else. And so as we're coming into Holy Week, I'd like us to ask ourselves that question. Would I spend some time giving something up this week so that I could have a bit more time to pray for deliverance for someone else? And I'm going to ask God to put people on your heart tonight that He wants you to pray for. And then maybe you pray for people you don't know, who someone will invite along next week. And for people who will come to the Alpha Course, how much would you give up so that you could be like Jesus and be filled with His power? Because it's His love that changes the world. And I think we'll find as you spend more time with Him, you will start to love more like He loves, and you'll start to think more of other people, and your prayers may become more others-focused than just you. You can pray for yourself. We're called to pray for ourselves, but we don't have trouble learning how to do that. At least I don't. But to actually be motivated more and more to pray for more and more people that they would be totally set free, because Jesus just went up to that boy that we're reading about before and just set him free in an instant. And Jesus is looking for people who love people enough to do something about being filled with His power and His love and His kindness and His mercy. And so I want to read a prayer of Paul's. It's going to come up on the screen. And I'm going to ask you a few questions. This is one of his prayers to people from the prison cell, probably in Rome, this one. He says, when I think of all of this, and he's thinking of what God has done for us. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees. I just want to read this slowly so you can meditate on this, okay? When I think of all of this, when I think of the love of God, I fall to my knees. And I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then when you experience the love of Christ, you will be made complete. When you experience the love of Christ, which is too great to understand fully, you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I just want to read that last bit again. When you experience the love of Christ, when you experience it, you don't just have a head knowledge. When you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amazing. You can be complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It's possible when you experience His love. So what I'd like to do now is two things. The first thing is I'd like to pray that for you. If you would close your eyes, if you'd like to. And I want to reread that passage, but I want to turn it into a prayer for you. And this is one thing I know, that I'm no one special, just one of you. It's our faith, our collective faith in His sacrifice for us and His victory that enables you to receive tonight. And if you're sitting here tonight thinking I'm not worthy of this, you're right, but don't think I'm not worthy of this so I can't receive it. I'm not worthy of this, but Jesus paved the way so you could receive it. And the greatest way you can bless Him tonight is to receive it, to not discount yourself. So let me pray for you. I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower each one of you with inner strength through His Spirit. I pray that Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. I pray that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And I pray that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand, and may you be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And I'd ask you to think of someone, or maybe a couple of people, who God is putting on your heart now. And as you think of them now, firstly think of the glorious, unlimited resources that you are asking from You think of your Heavenly Father, the creator of heaven and earth. You can just close your eyes and think of, before you pray for this person, think of the Father with his glorious unlimited resources. And for the people you're praying for, ask them to ask God to give them inner strength by the Holy Spirit. Ask for them to have a growing trust in the God who loves them. Even if they have nothing at the moment, ask that a seed of faith would be planted in their hearts. Ask that they would experience his love, which is so great. They will never fully understand it, but Lord, we pray you would give each one that we're thinking of tonight an experience of your love. And may they have the fullness of life and power. And if there's any doubts in our mind that you could do that, Lord, any thoughts that we have that think this is impossible, we wipe them away in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you'll fill our hearts with faith for those people that you've called us to pray for. And I pray, Lord, for each one of us as we go into this week, show us what we can give up just to have a little bit more time to be full of your love and full of your power, and to use that love and that power as we pray that we may see breakthroughs for other people, that we would truly be your apprentices, your students, your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.